You see, God has given this illustration of the body. He's trying to teach us a lesson. The same care we have for this physical body, the same concern we have that nothing goes wrong with anybody, any part of my body. He's saying, I ought to have the same concern for you.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will continue his mini-series on the topic of the worthy walk as he continues his message series going through the book of Ephesians. In the message broadcast over the last 2 weeks, Pastor Grant brought out how relationships between believers is one of the most important things to God, and how that Christian unity is a mark of a worthy walk Christ desires for His church, made up of every one of His blood-bought saints. This evening's message builds on that fundamental truth of unity created by the Holy Spirit Himself when He baptized every believer into the one body on the day of Pentecost. So we invite you now, if you have your Bibles, to turn once again to Ephesians chapter 4 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings his message entitled, Walk in Unity, Part 2. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A lion had been watching three bullocks feeding in an open field. He had tried several times before. He had made several attempts to attack the bullocks. But every time he came to attack, the bullocks got together and they were able to fend him off. You see, as long as the bullocks stuck together, they were safe, because this lion was no match for three strong bullocks with their sharp horns and their hoofs. So the lion, he didn't have a chance, but for whatever reason, he kept hanging around, because man, these three bullocks would make some mighty tasty meals. So the lion, he kept coming and checking on them. But one morning, the bullocks had a big quarrel. And just like what we do when we have a big quarrel, the bullocks decided they would stay away from each other. So as the lion came to check on the bullocks were scattered over the field, each one in a corner. They were trying to get as far away from each other as they possibly could. And as Mr. Lion came to look, his face smiled, because now he could pick them off one at a time. And that's exactly what he did. He attacked the bullocks, one bullock at a time. Well, wasn't it a delicious meal and some really tasty oxtails? You know, there is unity in strength. Or verse 5, let me put it right. There is what? Strength in unity. There is strength in unity. And today, as we discuss our theme about walking in unity, God wants to teach each of us, to share some lesson with each of us as to how we can walk in unity. Last week I began this message. It's a part of the series, The Worthy Walk. And we saw last week that relationships among believers is among the most important things to God. You remember we said that last week, that relationships among Christians is among the most important thing to God. Somehow we have the idea that what God wants is for us to get in ministry, and He does. But it's a bigger deal to God that we walk in unity. I shared with you last week that the night before Jesus went to the cross, the thing that He spent the most time praying about was that Christians would live together and walk together in unity. And I shared with you that the night before Jesus went to the cross, the prayer that we all like to talk about is when He prayed to His Father and His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. But we miss that there was another prayer in John's Gospel chapter 17. And in John's Gospel chapter 17, it was the very same night, and the burden of Jesus' prayer, the burden of the entire John 17, is that you and I, who are believers in Jesus Christ, could come to walk in unity. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if this is such a big thing to God, it ought to be a big thing to every person who names the name of Christ. Unity has to be a priority for every Christian. So may God help us this morning as we go through this topic, that each of us, that we might change. Listen, God, the reason you're here today is because God wants to do some changing in your behavior. This is not for the person who is not here. It's for you. Unity is no option. And this morning I want to share with you three practical ideas to help us walk in unity. Number one, put this in your notes. We must recognize that the church is one body. Did I hear the choir say that? We're part of what?
One body.
Did you hear them sing that? We must recognize that the church is one body, and you have it right there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. It's interesting that as the Apostle Paul seeks to teach us how to walk worthy, the first thing he deals with is walking in unity. We must recognize that the church is one body. God has made us one body, but there's an old adage that says, to dwell above with saints we love, that will be glory, but to live below with saints we know, that's another story. That's sad, isn't it? But if God has made us one body, we ought to be able to live in unity. Amen. If God has made us one body, we ought to be able to live in unity. Oh yes, the world is divided as all get out, and this great United States has never been divided as... Well, there may be times, but I don't in my lifetime that this country has ever been divided so much. And God wants the church. He has called the church to be the difference in this world. We ought to be telling the world that we can live differently. Regardless of our races and our background, our social status, it doesn't matter. God has brought us together into the church. Whether you're black, you're white, you're yellow, brown, you're rich, you're poor, we're all one in Christ Jesus. And there's some lessons that we ought to be able to learn. The first lesson we ought to be able to learn, and we can put that in our notes, we need each other. Oh, I tell you, boy, that song is, you preach my message. I need you. You need me. It's right here in my notes. We need each other. Your Bible is there in Ephesians, but we're going to turn it over for a minute to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go there with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to spend a little time there before we come back to Ephesians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 15, as God talks to us and tells us what it means to be one body. He says here in verse number 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, here's what he says. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Does that change anything? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Let me read that because this is such a big verse. God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And I just want you to know, my friend, some of you are brand new Christians like my good friend. Listen, you might be a brand new Christian. You might be a Christian for a long time. But God has put you into this one body. And he has put you there to provide and to fulfill a role that he has determined. God has put you into the church, into the body of Christ, for a reason. Amen. Listen, and if there were all one member, where would the body be? We need each other. Aren't you glad your head is not just one big eye? That would not only be grotesque, but you'd be a dead dog. Can you imagine if you didn't have a mouth and a nose? How would you breathe? Aren't you recognizing that the diversity of the body, if the body was not as diverse as it is, you would not be able to function? And the challenge to the church, we love to hang together. The only reason for the church to function the way God intended, there has got to be diversity. And the Christian church is missing it. We're all gathering together with our little group. Oh, you're going to realize this preacher started to preach a lot against this type of nonsense. This is from the devil. This nonsense where we're all trying to have a church that looks like me and does the stuff I like. And even in our own church, it seeps in a little, you know, because some of us, you know, we like the oxtail, and some like the goat, and some like the chitlins, and some like the termites. Oh yeah, some folks like termites. I won't tell you who. But I was in a certain country, and they were all getting excited about the termites because they were going to serve me these fried termites. And I would have eaten the fried termites, but I was blessed. It was the wrong season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because to be honest, when I travel to these places, I try and eat what they give me to eat, whether I like it or not. And this is why I have problems with my brothers and sisters who talk to see somebody and they're eating the termites, and you say, that's disgusting. How dare you tell somebody what's disgusting after you're eating your oxtail and your goat? You understand what I'm saying? God has made us different. We look different. We like different things. But we have got to accept each other and recognize that this incredible diversity is something that has been designed by God. And He has put every person in the place He wants them to be. Hallelujah. So let's love each other. Amen. And let us embrace diversity. Hallelujah. Let us embrace diversity because we are one body and we need each other. But secondly, not only we need each other, one of the lessons we can learn from being a part of the body is that we need each other. But the second lesson, oh, I tell you, there are so many I could have, but I had to cut my notes down. The biggest challenge sometimes as a preacher is how much, what do I hear after God unfolds so much? The second thing, we must care for and value each other. That's the only thing I'm going to share. We must care for and value each other.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Look on at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Amen. I'm not finished reading there, but don't miss that. We have all these different folks with different things to bring to the table. Amen. But one body. Amen. And the eye cannot say to the hand, come on now. You see, it's the first time we read, it was this, the eye saying, I'm not the part of the body. But here in verse 21, it's the reverse. It's one part saying to the other, you're not a part of this. The eye cannot say to the body, I don't need you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I don't need you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. That brother or sister who might seem to be the weakest, we really need that person. Don't throw them out. Amen. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to those parts which lack it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. But listen to that. The members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Amen. We must care for and value each other. Let me ask you, how many of you are praying for a heart attack or cancer? You said, Pastor, you ask some silly questions. Here's the point I'm trying to get at. We don't want to have a problem with any of our physical body parts. Am I right? But do you know that some Christians wouldn't mind if something bad happens to another member of the spiritual body? You see, God has given this illustration of the body. He's trying to teach us a lesson. The same care we have for this physical body, the same concern we have that nothing goes wrong with anybody, any part of my body. He's saying, I ought to have the same concern for you. And if you have a problem, instead of my... No, listen, if you're... And usually, you know, the person I don't mind if something bad happens to is the person who I have a problem with. But no, pray for them. And in a few minutes, we're going to see some other steps that God says you ought to be taking for that person, with that person that you have a problem with. Listen, but here's another silly question. What body parts are you willing to give up? Some of you still have your 32 teeth. I don't have all of them, but I have quite a few. But some of you may be down to 20. But 20, that's still a lot. You see, if I ask you, how many of you want to give up an eye? You probably say, no, Pastor, I only have two eyes. I don't want to lose one, right? But you got 20 teeth. Can't you just, would you be willing to give up five? Who will give them up? You say, I don't want to give up no five, because I still remember when I was praying, all I want for Christmas is why my wife. My two front teeth. Is that what they say that in America, too, or is that just a Caribbean thing? All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. I value, you know, I never knew anything about floss till I was married. Truly, I never saw floss before. I was wondering, what in the world is this young lady doing? That's my wife. She was shocked that I didn't know anything about this floss business. So it took me a while to come to the table, and you know, the dentist eventually said, you know, Brian, if you don't start flossing regularly and doing this and doing that, you know, you're going to lose your teeth. And can you imagine? I didn't know about flossing, but I sure learned. Why? Because I value. Are you with me?
Amen.
I want to ask you now. Do you value every member of the body? Think about that Christian who has irritated you to no end. Do you value them? God wants us to be very real this morning. And because we're part of the value of the same body, we must care for and we must value every member of the body. Just like you value those little front teeth, you should value even the person who irritates you the most. May God help us. Because we cannot keep singing about, I need you and you need me, if we're not going to value each other. Amen? So what have I said so far? We must recognize that the church is one body. But secondly, if we're going to walk in unity, we must have an attitude of lowliness or humility. Put that in your notes. We must have an attitude of lowliness or humility. We must commit to a change of attitude. We must commit to a change of attitude. Let me read for you verses 4 from verse, we're back to Ephesians now. And I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians, our text. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Listen, there are three attitudes mentioned here. One, we must have an attitude of lowliness or humility. I like the word that the New King James and the King James Version uses to translate a word. It translates the word in the verse. It says, it uses the word lowliness. Lowliness. Some versions use humility. Lowliness. Here's what lowliness means. Lowliness means a lack of vanity or self-importance. Lowliness is a lack of vanity or self-importance. In Greek culture, they believed that humility was something only slaves needed to practice. But Jesus turned the culture upside down. And Jesus, from Jesus came on the scene, he now lets us know this business of humility and lowliness is not just for slaves. It's an attitude that every believer must also have. And I am suggesting to you, my brothers and sisters, that just as the early Christians were called on to be countercultural, that Jesus is calling on our generation to also be countercultural. Because we're living in a society that glamorizes and encourages pride and self-absorption. Are you with me? It's all about me. And we spend so much time on Facebook and other social media. Now, I'm not knocking you from being on, so don't think I'm preaching against it, but I'm just telling us the reality of the type of world we're in. And we spend all this time on Facebook, and what are we doing? We're telling folks what? Where we went. You know, particularly if you went to somewhere they may not have gone to. Am I right about it? I gotta tell them where I went. I got to tell them I bought a new car, new house. Oh, I met this person or that person. Listen, we are so absorbed in ourselves and our self-importance. And in this culture, Jesus is saying, if we're going to be united, we need to have the attitude of lowliness. A lack of vanity or self-importance, because here is the reality. When we are too impressed with ourselves, it destroys unity. In fact, I even hear some people say they're coming off of Facebook because they can't keep up with their friends. Because every time they read about their friends just came back from some incredible vacation. They just came back from that. And as far, I'm not in their category. This stuff causes disunity. And if the church is to be united, what God is saying to every believer, and it's not just because it's a benefit to the church, it's a benefit to the witness of Christ on this earth. Every Christian needs to be lowly. I'm not that impressed with my own resume in what I have accomplished. Let's be honest, you've accomplished. Can we be frank? You really didn't accomplish much, did you? By the grace of God, hallelujah. By the grace of God, you are, I am what I am. The NIV translates the word. In the King James, it's translated, and the New King James is translated lowliness. The NIV translates the word as humility. Warren Wiersbe, and I think I have this in your notes as well. Warren Wiersbe said, humility means putting Christ first, others second, and self last. Do I have that in the notes? Humility means putting Christ first, others second, and self last. Does that describe you? Do you put others first? Or is it usually about you? Do you know we can be proud of our humility? You say, what do I mean? I can have a lifestyle that is very concerned about those who are less fortunate. And because I am concerned about those who are less fortunate, I am very proud that I am the one concerned about the less fortunate. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But that's not to be the case. We should be proud about anything. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about my way and having my way. It's not, you know, pride divides, but humility unites. And the reason why humility unites is because humility puts others first.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.